Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Listen, tonight it's going to be a short session, but we are going to go through. I did the top 10 list, and actually I think it came in at least the top 11 list of things that the Bureau has information on behind the scenes. Law enforcement, the FBI, what are they working on, and where is this case really at behind the scenes? We know where it's at in front of the camera. Look, the media has given up on this case. So many folks have given up on this case. But believe me, there is so much going on behind the scenes. We cannot believe that this is, I mean, when I hear cold case, I literally almost laugh. This is not a cold case. A cold case means no leads, nothing left to look into. It's just put it on the back shelf and it's collecting dust. That is not what this case is. Now, you could say there's no pointer. In other words, there's no clear direction as to the responsible party or parties is. That's a whole different discussion. But as far as it being cold, no way. And I'm going to talk about, let's see, I think I ended up with top 12. Put on my glasses. Yeah. Top 12 leads that I think are number one on the burner. So please, please don't give up hope on this case. First of all, the number one thing that I think the Bureau is looking at again is, or one of the number one things is the video. This is an interesting time frame. While it is a smart time frame because few people are on the road, so few people to identify or to pull him over in terms of police or to otherwise see porch guy and his possible accomplices. Let's look at this. That also means when you look at all the vehicles on the road at the choke points in the area at that time, you know, 2:30 and beyond, that really narrows the limit of focus that the Bureau has to look at. So they should be looking at all traffic cameras. I've talked about how there's very few, but there is that school area that is in the roadway. And let me get her up here. Sorry. Sometimes I get to going and I don't put Nancy up. There are many roadways that lead out of this neighborhood that would be almost undetectable. They were dark. There's no road, lights that are there. The houses are far off the road. And so the possibility of Ring and Nest certainly are diminished, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. So I would literally, if this were my case, I would be looking at that hour time frame. I would span out and I would look at all roads leading in and out to Nancy. And I guarantee the Bureau is doing that. Their analysts are amazing. They should divide all of that up. And I'm sure they are, where the case agent has said, listen, look at this highway space from this time to this time. Look at this particular road by the school that I talked about from this time to this time. They are going to be looking at all of that. At some point, these kidnappers or kidnapper had to cross a street traffic cam or a light camera or a Nest or a Ring camera that could have captured them. They are heavily looking at all of this. So I think that's one thing we really need to consider. It's not a dead end. It's something that's being worked as we speak. The DNA. Listen, we don't know that the only DNA is what Nanos has talked about. He's talked about one sample that he says is a mixed sample. He says there's more than two profiles in, which we had Dr. Fitzpatrick on. And basically, if there's more than one, or I'm sorry, more than two, like three or so, she says the technology really doesn't exist right now to separate those all out and do IgG. But the FBI isn't talking about other possible samples. There could be possible other samples that we just don't know about. Fingerprints are unlikely because at least the suspect that we saw, there could be others, were gloved, which would make you think if they were working together, they would make sure they all had gloves. So I understand that fingerprints are basically not very likely, but DNA, I still think is likely. Plus, whatever they might have tracked in with them. I've talked about this. If I walk out of the house right now, the chances that Simba's hair is on my shoe and I walk to my friend's house, the chances that Simba hair is dispatched onto their rug is pretty possible. Did any of these perpetrators have a hair from an animal in their home? Did they have particular mud or sand or something on their shoe that they could have left at the crime scene? These are all considerations that I guarantee are being worked hard and heavy behind the scenes. Again, another lead that the Bureau is following up on behind the scenes that we really don't know. Consider this, number three, leads. We know that there were at least 30,000 leads. That's what the number we've been given, 30,000. I've talked about this. Think about your to-do list having six things on it, you know, dryer, pick up the kids, plant, you know, your time, make dinner, get dressed. You know, maybe you want to clean one room that day, whatever it might be. Just think of 30,000 things. I know I've brought this up before, but my point is that even though they have a task force that still is, I guarantee it's not more than 10, 12 people working on this case right now. And that's a lot for them to look at. And I know early on there were a lot more and they triaged those and they have a great system for that, a great AI and electronic system for this, putting everything in, spitting it out. But I can tell you, they have to follow up on all of these leads. And what if one of the leads of the 30,000 is just the lead that is needed that will lead them to Nancy? So we just cannot discount that. Number four, geofencing. All right. I know the geofencing has not worked around the house, right? Because as I've said, I think they have had handy talkies. Handy talkies, HTs, are what we used in the Bureau. And essentially how they work, it's so great. They work car to person, person to person. And then we had repeaters that were back at our headquarters offices that made them even stronger. The point is, it's not detectable by any geofence situation. And I truly think that that is what Porch Guy and his accomplices used. And again, that's why I think there's more than one. I cannot get over the fact that there is more than one based on the HT. And I've got some other new evidence that I want to bring up, but I'll do that on tomorrow's live. As for this live, I'm bringing up leads. So there we have another one. The geofence. So even though at the house, it's likely not going to come up, but they need to be looking, and I'm sure they are, in that 2:30 time frame, right? At the same time they're looking at video, they also need to be looking at geofence on the choke points. Choke points are the points at which you have to pass through to get to a particular target. So the target is Nancy's house. You have to, no matter what, you have to get in there some way. So there's all these particular choke points in and around that time. 147 was when the yank happened. We know that they're looking at January 11th, January 24th, January 31st. And then obviously the abduction happened in the wee hours of the morning on February 1st. My point is, what about the choke points at these particular areas? This all needs to be looked at, and I guarantee they're looking at them. And again, plus for bad guys, yeah, they did it in the dead of night where nobody's paying attention. But bad part about that is that will focus in better the amount of time that they're going to be looking at these things, the Bureau, that is. Number five. Tracking down these ransom demands. Yes, I've discussed how basically without that much knowledge, you can track down or you can have issues with tracking down these IP addresses based on the issues that have to do with people having VPNs, with people having emails that are out of country, based on having burner phones that are way more obscure than one you buy at Best Buy. So we know that it's possible, that it's extremely difficult to track. Do you think that's going to stop the FBI? They are using the best of the best in terms of resources, both inside and outside the FBI, the best of the best in the business to try to track that down. I know Harvey Levin has said, he's with TMZ, recall, that listen, they came in, the Bureau came in, they tried to look through their systems and figure it out, and it was a dead end. Well, you know what? Sheriff Nano said it was a dead end. The camera on the front porch of the house of Nancy. And it was for 10 days. And the Bureau and Google were able to figure it out. This project that the Bureau is working on to try to trace back these two ransom notes that they say are related, different from the second set that came in, which I still said, if you want to get these people, there's case funds, you should still do it. That's what I believe. Look, it's not that I think that they have Nancy. It's not that I put any credence in these from that standpoint. What I put credence into is that they are extorting and they are punishing Guthrie family with each and every note that goes out. Spend the 30-something thousand. You have so much in case funds. I won't release how much we had in case funds. And I've been retired for about 10 years now. You have huge case funds that you can use to do something like this. I say do it and at least get an extortionist off the street. People might not agree with me and they might say, but Jen, that will just leave more people to do it. Yeah, but this is the guy that was in at the very beginning. His first note was on the 10th. To be clear, I might have said the 11th before I looked back. It's actually the 10th. Right in after, remember, the demands, ransom demand was not met. And at that point, Nancy was considered dead. But this person started extorting early in the exact same fashion that the two notes they say are related. You just can't say for certain it's not related. We really don't know. Do I think they're bogus? They're bogus in terms of trying to get money. But are they? But they're not bogus in terms of punishing and having this family suffer. So all I'm saying, I tickle the wire, as I call it. I find out what is going on with those notes. I spend some of my case funds on that. Number five, don't forget the clothing leads, everyone. Listen, he dressed uniquely. We all saw this bag he had was only manufactured by Walmart. It was sold exclusively at Walmart. Listen, I understand that he could have gotten it at a thrift shop or online. You know, come on. Nobody's going to be selling a $15 Walmart bag through eBay and trying to make some money. Your postage would be $5, right? I mean, you're not, and it's an old bag. There's no way. What eBay and what Mercari and some of these other avenues that people buy things off of, that's because they can make money. They're selling a true Gucci, or they're selling, you know, true, you know, Oakley glasses for a bargain price. And they're willing to have a $250 pair of Oakleys that they have to pay $5 to ship. They're going to make a profit on them. So they're not going to make a profit on this bag. I remember when people were going down that road, it's possible. But look, his whole outfit, from what we understand, was potentially sold at Walmart. I've contrasted this to Luigi Mangione before, showing how that guy had expensive taste, expensive clothes, and expensive backpack, which made that very unique. But this makes him unique as well. And the Bureau is following up on that, that backpack, that unique mask, the gloves, the shirt he had on with the ribbing. Remember that? The pants, the shoes, the whole kit and caboodle that he had. If you think that that has just stopped for them and they're not looking at that, they are still looking at that. That is not something that is dead-ended just because they haven't found the solution. in the time we have yet. Number six, holster and gun leads. We know that they went to various stores, right? Searching for guns that had been sold. They need to do that simultaneous with holster, because typically when you buy a gun, you oftentimes buy a holster. That's a very unique holster. It didn't even fit the gun properly. I'm just saying that date is probably pretty congruent, the time that you would buy the gun and you would want a holster to carry it in. Listen, this is the type of guy, just like Brian Koberger sat there and flipped that, you know, knife sheath snap over and over again, practicing getting it out, fantasizing about what he was going to do to those kids. Just think about it. That is why all that friction left his DNA on that. It wasn't a one-time snap. It was multiple. He had that knife sheath for months before he killed those kids. It wasn't what he did inside there. He was gloved. It's what he did on his couch as he fantasized, and that's a sexual crime, fantasized and sexually thought about what that was going to mean to him to kill those, really to kill, in my opinion, Maddie. And then everything kind of got mucked up when everybody else was there. Nevertheless, this is like Porch Guy. He's got that gun. He's got that holster. We know, I believe, that the Bureau, from what they did, they might have not hit pay dirt yet, but they're looking for guns that were purchased in and around that time. They think that gun was new and that holster is new. Remember, the Bureau has enhanced photos that we are not seeing. I put this out a couple of days ago. How do we find Porch Guy? His face everywhere, his profile everywhere, and enhanced photos that we see here, enhancements. That's how the public could help more. They're not doing it. I can't explain it. That's up to them. But holster and gun leads. Hate mail leads. Listen, they are going to be looking at hate mail towards Savannah. I did one whole segment, if you have time to look at it, one whole segment about at least one individual that was targeted, because the person who answers the fan mail, and believe me, I know many of you never knew her before Savannah Guthrie. I'd never watched the Today Show. I didn't know, but she's famous. People know who she is. She makes millions and millions and millions every year because people want to watch her. They love her presentation. They think she's down to earth. She gets in your living room every morning, and she's relatable. She is a star. Make no mistake. She has a limo. She has drivers. She makes millions. She's worth over $40 million and lives the life. I'm saying this all to say that there's fan mail that comes in for her, and that is likely answered by some individual who, you know, is wanting to get in the business and so on and so forth, who handles the fan mail. And I guarantee there's a lot of it. And that is going to be perused, because you never know if that is the genesis. You just, in a case like this, you have to consider everything. And once you become closed-minded, that's the one that gets you, because that's the one that is the huckleberry. That's number seven. Number eight. I've talked about this. I spent a whole segment on this. Political leads. Okay. It is apparently clear that Nancy Guthrie was very, and I said this wrong the first time I did it. Everybody wrote me. They're like, Jennifer, she was on the left, not on the right. And I said, sorry, I misspoke. Even though everything I described was on the right, I apologize whenever I misspeak. Sometimes you're thinking one thing and other words come out. She was extremely left. She was not a Trump supporter. She was not an ICE supporter. And she had strong feelings. I already read some of her messaging, some of her social media posts. This is, and it's, that's where she was. That's what she believed. And she was a strong woman. She had her wits about her. And there's many people who believe exactly like Nancy Guthrie. But could she have been targeted for that? I don't know. All I'm telling you is that they're going to look at avenues that could have targeted Savannah and avenues that could have targeted Nancy. And when you look at her life, her victimology, we call it, in other words, what makes you a victim? I'm going to give you the far, I'll call it the left side. If you are a prostitute, if you are doing narcotics and dealing with drug dealers, if you are out all hours of the night dealing with strangers, if you are not in your mental faculties because you're using, if you are in areas that are not well patrolled, your victimology is through the roof in terms of the possibility of you being beaten, raped, robbed, all of those. It goes through this, through the roof. If you were an 84-year-old woman who stays in her home every night, if you are have stayed there for 50 years, if you lock your doors, if you, you know, you've done this for 50 years, you're just not a victim unless you are a specific target that was pointed out and was made a victim because of a particular motive. There's a motive of Porch Guy and whoever else he worked with. That was a motive. Now, whether Porch Guy was the one that had the motive or his motive was just getting paid to do this, we don't know yet. But I can tell you, this abduction was definitely motivated by money and hate. And they're going to be looking at, could a possible political reason be behind this horrible crime? You just can't discount it. I mean, here we are talking about somebody who hated Savannah. You have to consider somebody who hated Nancy, somebody who hated that Guthrie family. They were in Tucson forever. So it's just something that truly must be considered when you're thinking about why this happened. Number 9.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So, we've talked about Savannah and Nancy, but we also have to consider Tommaso. He likes to be called Tommy. That's what Savannah calls him. Tommy, Annie, Cameron. These are the other siblings. You have to look at, could it be possible that they were actually targeted, that it's hate for them? Nobody's really talking about that. And I need to do a deep dive into Tommaso separately. I need one night on Tommaso, one night on Annie, one night on Cameron, one night on Savannah's husband. We cannot be myopic here. The glaring person is Savannah. To me, number 2 is Nancy. But we're not even considering anything else. So I need to do a special show on each of them, and I'll be doing that. The other leads, I'm on number 10. See, we're flying through. Former tenants. Now you might be saying, but Jen, she hasn't had a tenant in there for a while. This is in the guest house, right? I understand that. But you never know what lingering and hateful and resentful type situations can evolve. Because I tell you what, when you have tenants, and I've had tenants since 19, 80, when did I go into the FBI? 1990. I bought my first house. So I graduated from college in, oh gosh, I'm going to date myself. I'm not even going to tell you guys. But I graduated and I immediately bought a townhome. And it was so funny. And I still own it. If you can imagine, after all these years, I still own it. It's in Colorado. And I bought this townhome. And it was so funny when I went for my FBI interview. And by the way, things have changed in the interview process. But when I went through, there were three people that interviewed you. So once you got through the testing and the academic side and things like that, and the psychological testing, which I never understood the question, do you like Alice in Wonderland? If there's anybody on here that knows why that question is asked, and I should ask Dr. Picado, I would love to know that. And I remember saying, I never saw Alice in Wonderland. And to this day, I haven't seen Alice in Wonderland. So I guess that was just a neutral comment when I was asked that question. But that was one of the questions I was asked. Anyway, I remember, so there's a good, like your good guy agent. He is 100% in your court. You can tell he's pushing for you. And then there's a neutral agent that doesn't say much, but is kind of taking it all in and asking you factual questions. And then there was the antagonist, who was, no matter what you said, they came at you full force. So that's how it was when I interviewed back in 1990. Oh my gosh. It was in the, I got in 6 months. My class was in November. So, you know, spring of 1990. And I remember the antagonist saying, you owe $58,000, or I think it might have been 48, whatever it was. It was around 50. You owe $48,000 or $50,000. What are you in debt for? And I said, I bought a house. And then they all laugh. They're like, oh, okay. Well, that's good. I think they were worried that I don't know. It was really odd. But nevertheless, she has been in this house forever. She bought this house for, I believe, around $89,000. This house now is worth well over a million, or I shouldn't say well over, a little over a million. And I can tell you far less after this despicable deed has happened. But nevertheless, she had rented it out from time to time. And I think that also goes to tell you about her financial state. When you're in a perfect financial state, that doesn't really mean that you would necessarily rent out the personal places in your house. In other words, your guest home, right on your property, right outside your front door. But it tells me, you know, that it was important to make some more extra money. And I can just tell you, the whole reason I said this is, having tenants since 1990, it's a long time, I still have a lot of tenants, is that they can get really mad at you for different things. It can be the oddest thing. Whenever you have finance combined with your personal home, you know, something that means a lot to you, where you live, where you're going to, I mean, it's very interesting. So I'm just saying that needs to be explored, just needs to be explored. We're talking about leads that the FBI is looking into. Not about why this isn't a cold case, but rather the breadth of information the Bureau is looking at and what they have before them that could be interesting or lead to something. Ooh, I'm almost done. Acquaintances. Nancy's acquaintances. You have to look at that. People who cross paths. You know, I had lawyer Dubay, Philip Dubay, who I love. I mean, he's just great. And I think now part of his, you know, his idea about what happened, he thought that the people who went in there killed her right there with a knife. That's what he said. And again, he was a prosecutor in LA and a defense attorney for decades. So imagine what you see in LA as a public defender. In other words, I mean, his caseload would have been through the roof and what he saw. So that's what he initially thought. We know now, if we're to believe the source information, says no obvious signs of a big struggle or whatever, which to me means there wasn't blood on the inside. Again, and I haven't done my spreadsheet, I've just been too busy, but I put source information in a different category than something I can see with my own eyes, like this. Something normally that I hear from law enforcement, although I'm with y'all, I have to caveat it a little because it's coming from Nanos and we don't have any other source from law enforcement. Normally, I'm like, okay, this is what law enforcement says. But in this situation, we have an odd situation where, you know, Nanos is under fire. He's under fire for lying previously. He's got to come up with these list of questions. We've seen him backslide and not appropriately answer questions and say one thing and mean another, blah, 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 blah. I mean, we all know. I should actually do a spreadsheet on that, but I'm not going to waste my time because really what I care about in this case, what I'm really interested in is the case being solved. And for me, this is such a huge whodunit, everyone. But I want everyone to know that behind the scenes, there's 10 to 12 agents and officers. I don't think more than that. This is just my estimation. I could be wrong. It's my estimation from my experience at this point, 2+ months into a case, that clearly there's no obvious pointer. That's what they're doing. They're looking at everything. I just went through the whole list of 11 things that came off the top of my head that everybody is looking at. And so when you consider all of that, they've got a lot of work ahead of them. This case is not cold. This case remains a priority. You heard President Trump say, literally on Air Force One, leaning out the door, saying, they've got solutions. They've got some answers. I think the reason that that was such a miscommunication, my belief is that that was right before they ended up making some of those detained, you know, they detain people and they took the car and, you know, it was right before some of that happened. And I think that's what they were briefing him on, right? Hey, listen, we've got a great lead here. The guy looks just like Porch Guy. He's struggling. He's got a criminal history, blah, 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 blah. Only they didn't ferret out. It's not them. It's not the dailies. It's not the people that they detained. That's not what this is. So as they continue to search, I just want everyone to know, even though it seems like there's no hope, there's plenty of hope. There's plenty of hope. And I really think this case will be solved. I know people want to say it won't be. Everybody said that too about the Idaho 4. I feel like I'm in such a deja vu, blaming the family with this case, with Nancy's case. Blaming the Jacks, blaming the roommates, blaming a guy who had serious, traumatic syndrome issues because he was former military and everything he went through there, right? So nevertheless, I feel there's such a parallel there because we are in different times because of social media. Right? We're in different times now. So anyway, the bottom line is don't lose hope. I haven't lost hope. And I think the case will be solved. It's just going to take a long time because every road has a lot of roadblocks and requires a lot of time. I always tell my kids this every day. I say, if you want to be rich, if you want to be well off, there's only one way for that to happen. If you want to be successful, 2 words, hard work. And that's how it was in the Bureau. If you wanted to make a case, it took hard work. Hours and hours of work, staying late, working weekends, following up on leads that didn't even make sense. I'm going to give you, and I've given this example before, so, and I should just give you a different one, but I'll give you this one because this was probably the biggest case that I had when you consider all the parameters, like, you know, impact and, oh my God, the money we spent and the informants and the wiretaps that we had and the amount of people, 10 people working on this case. When you consider the breadth of the case, this was probably my biggest case I was a case agent on. And when I look back at that case, we had to take the case down very unsuspectedly. We weren't planning on it. We were in Miami. It was $1 million money that we were following the money, and we were going to take the money down, but we couldn't take it down right away or we would expose the informant. So we had to sort of like track this money and stay on it, keep our surveillance eye on it. And it was great. It was so fun. All the different places that money ended up, and trunks and behind bushes and keys and everything. But the bad thing that happened with that money was we were following it to a hotel in Miami, and basically the valet people were on the take, and the bureau made a big mistake. One of the agents in the bureau and let his identity be known. You know, one of these, like, it literally was right out of, what's that movie? Miss Congeniality. Somebody went like, FBI, and instead of saying, I need 10 lattes to go, they said, FBI, we're here looking for somebody. And so we're going to be parked right over here. Don't disturb us, you know, let us park here, whatever. Worst thing you could do. Because, and it could have been, this was a huge, beautiful hotel, huge, mini story size. I was staying in it. And so was our informant. And the word got back to the bad guys. And the informant was essentially made, or at least we had two informants. They were worried they were made. So we had to take down the case right then. I mean, when I say take it down, we got them out. We got them to, you know, safe. And then we had to start indicting people. In other words, I had to go before the grand jury and talk about all the aspects of the case and the evidence we had. We indicted 50 or 48. My mind, I had another case, one case with 48, one case with 50. I know I should know, but without the paperwork in front. They had some big cases because they're conspiracy cases. In any event, we ended up taking it down, so to speak. We started charging. And unfortunately, I've talked about this, the main folks in this case got away. And about a year later, I heard about information that they were back in town, that they were back in Houston, is where I was working. And, you know, I heard, when I say that, that's when informants kind of come to you and they said, you know, we heard that these big kingpins are hanging out at this little restaurant off of 59 in Houston. And I'm like, I doubt if that's it, but you never know. And so literally for 2 weeks, I just kept going there, different times for breakfast, never saw him. And then I'll be danged if I went there later, which I didn't anticipate that. And probably like, I don't know, 9 o'clock. And they were there. This is the type of thing I'm talking about. And Dale Lundberg talks about this a lot in his murder investigations. He was a Dallas homicide detective. He talks about this a lot. He calls it the God factor. He said, you know, you have nothing. You're sitting there. And the God factor, it sheds light on your case. And you have the clue you need to make the case. And that's what happened with this. Like, we arrested them all. Well, actually, two got away, but we got them a couple hours later. But nevertheless, my point is, I believe in what Dale Lundberg describes as the God factor. I always called it, I'd rather be lucky than good, but I'm a believer. So I'm adopting Dale Lundberg's the God factor, whatever you want to call it. it's that factor that trickles in where if you're working hard, now don't get me wrong, if you abandon this case and you're not on it every day, and if you're not following leads, looking at those 30,000 clues, if you're not following, if you're not on it, you're never going to get the God factor or the lucky to be good factor. It's going to be terrible. But if you are on these cases, if they stay on this, I have faith that one of the 11 roads I mentioned might lead to what happened to Nancy. All right, everyone. I kept you way too long. Oh, goodness. I said a half an hour. I'm so sorry. Everyone, thank you so much. And I want to thank Deborah for becoming a member. And I want to thank Carol so much for becoming a member. That's the big thing. I love to have members on. We have members only shows. And we have a special thing also that we're going to be doing is anybody who is, I think, a $3.99 member or above, we're going to put your name in a hat. And the minute that they have a suspect in custody for Nancy's murder or 6 months, whatever comes first, I've got a little collection of some FBI things, some patches, badges, pens, memorabilia, that's from my personal collection that I'll be sending you. So it's just kind of my way to give back. I look at it because I appreciate each one of you that makes the show great, makes chat great. I can't thank my mods enough for all they do. I mean, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. And I think as we grow and we get better and I'm able to hire people and other people just want to contribute their time and their effort and resources, we have built a good team and I only see it getting stronger. And it's because of all of you. Because if you're not members, if you're not subscribers, and you know, you're what make our channel. So anyway, I love being able to come to you while I can still and bring you these cases and thoughts from an FBI point of view. So again, thank you so much. Let me look and just see if there's anything. Thank you, Don. I just appreciate each of you. Until next time, I just want to say to everybody, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie, for her family, and for all the missing. Thank you.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.